It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It's Thursday, October 7th, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
You reminded me that Monday is a holiday.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. I completely forgot about that. Maybe because we just had a day off.
That's what I felt. I remembered that yesterday and same thing. I was like, I feel like we just had a day off. I was like, oh my God, we have Monday off too. Crazy.
With this new holiday, Truth and Reconciliation Day, if you get that day off, then we will have three stat holidays in a period of like 6 weeks right now. Labor Day, Truth and Reconciliation Day, Thanksgiving.
I have to be honest, it's kind of nice. Like, we've talked about 4-day work weeks, and in these 6 weeks, we actually get to experience it at least every other day, you know? And it's a good time to kind of reset, and yeah, it feels good to have an extra day to chill out. And, you know, Truth and Reconciliation Day, obviously, you're doing some thinking and some reflecting and research and stuff, but it's kind of cool to use that day for that.
Thanksgiving, you're just dummying food and ale, so.
I mean, for some people, they're definitely doing some religious things as well, but if you're not, then you are just eating till you feel sick, yes.
Is Thanksgiving a religious holiday?
Well, I guess not religious, no, but it's not religious, but my parents always, it was serious, right? It was like talking about things you're thankful for, and they'd take that kind of religious aspect of it, but...
That's relaxing, too.
It sure is.
Because then your heart is full.
Your
you can say my heart is full.
And your stomach.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I heard a song recently, and I was out with some friends, and I was like, kind of like this song. And I was like, everybody shh. And then I Shazammed it so that I'd have it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Miley Cyrus. And I instantly was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said I like a Miley Cyrus song. And then I instantly realized how pretentious that sounded, and I felt bad and was like, okay, I'm sorry. I take that back. Like, I like all music. I can't say that because it's Miley. I just still envision Miley Cyrus as like Hannah Montana. She's come a long way since then.
She has reinvented herself a few times since
then.
She
totally has.
And she's like, I don't even think she's 30 years old.
No, you're right.
And she's had like several different phases of her career. I guess when you get started that young,
yeah,
you have time for that.
I suppose so. And I was thinking, though, and I was like, I do feel bad. You don't judge. Like, if you like a song, you like a song. Why would I be judging just because it's Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
But have a listen to this. Is okay. This is what I envision Miley Cyrus as. Okay. Like that's
Hannah Montana days.
That is Hannah Montana days. And that is what I still kind of hold when I think of Miley. And that's why, like, this is her newer song. And it's very different.
And sometimes I get so scared of what I can't understand.
Sounds much more mature.
Yeah, I am. Next
is this Malibu?
This is Malibu.
The sky is more.
But it's a banger, okay?
This song it's got to be 4 or 5 years old, this song.
Okay, so it's not even new.
Not even
Miley.
That new. She's changed again. Have you heard her newer stuff?
Just
let me go. Prisoner,
yeah. Miley
totally
grew
different.
Miley grew up.
Holy crap. Like, all of those are so different from one another. Back to this.
Yeah, that's three different artists.
That is crazy.
But you think about it, these child stars, like, they still... Like, she's an incredible singer.
She is.
Whether you like her music or not, the girl can sing.
Yes.
And they still have all the resources of, you know, the beast that is the music industry behind them. So, like, if her label still thinks that there's legs in her career, like, they will find her the best songwriters and the best producers, and the music will be good.
Also, didn't she start as a country artist? Like, she ventured into country at one point as well.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Her dad's a country artist,
yeah.
So... Yeah.
So she's done it all.
The many faces.
And not even 30. Oh, my God.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
You got to remind me to ask Mayor Nenshi this if we talked to him before his last day in office. And also when we speak to the new mayor.
Yeah.
Ask this question as well. I was thinking about this the other day. So, you know, when you're at like a social event or you're just meeting someone wherever, you're at an appointment and they say, what do you do for work? Do you think the mayor gets that question?
Probably,
hey.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, Nenshi is one of, if not the most recognizable Calgarians right now.
Yes.
But there are, like, there would still be people in the city who wouldn't know who he was, who wouldn't recognize him.
And, I mean, as you said, this city, a little more so, people would recognize him more than maybe
it's
other
pretty high
cities.
Profile, yeah.
However, yes, for sure there's people who wouldn't know what he looked like or...
Yeah, because, I mean, we know that, like, about half of potential voters vote in the municipal election, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
Engagement with local politics... is disappointingly low. So there would be lots of people who wouldn't know who the mayor was.
That would be really awkward, though, if you did go up to him. What do you do for work? And I'm the mayor
of this city, the one that we're in right now.
Knew that. Yeah, just testing you, sir.
I was thinking, like, awkward. When I have that conversation with someone mm-hmm. says, what do you do for work? I say, I work in radio. And then if they're interested, I say, I'm on the morning show at X92.9. And then they either tell me that they listen and that's cool, or they don't. And they tell me what they do listen to. And that's how that conversation goes down. I'm sure you've had it a million times too, right?
Definitely, yeah.
But when you're the mayor, that would, because then you feel, the person who asked feels so dumb, wouldn't they?
Massive ass.
You're the mayor of my city.
I just feel like a giant ass cactus. Huh. Just I'm
cool.
So
well,
sorry,
I'm going to leave the party now. And
you continue on with your mayor stuff, and I'm going to go.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Etymology with Shauna.
Well, it's Trucktober right now.
It sure is. I love it.
So here's a fun etymology for you. The origin of the word truck. So
when did it get all the extra U's?
So truck.
That happened later?
That was more recent, actually. Before then, it was just one U. But truck in the vehicle sense first appeared in English around 1611. And at that time, it actually meant a small wheel or roller. And it was used to reference the roller that was mounted under cannons on warships. So that was a truck.
Oh, okay. So when they push the cannons out of the port on the side of a warship to fire?
That was the truck underneath that pushed it.
Wow, that's cool.
I know. I had no idea. But that's actually a short form of the word truckle, which, again, means wheel, roller, or pulley. And that actually came from Latin, and the word was trucklia, and that originally just meant pulley. So it went from pulley to meaning roller to then meaning actual truck. So when you say you have a truck, though, you're literally saying, like, you got wheels. Which is pretty sweet. Like, look at my jacked up wheels. Yeah, those are my work wheels. You know,
I like that.
Just toss it on the back of my wheels. I really like that. I really do. But the first use of truck meaning a wheeled vehicle for transporting heavy items like we currently use it was in 1774. So still
that
a long ass time ago.
Older than the U.S.
It is, which is crazy to think about. Trucks are older than the U.S.
Trucks.
And then the other use came, it doesn't say an exact time, but I mean, that happened over the last, I'd say 40 years or so. You know, we started adding more and more use to it just to extend
it back.
Well,
when you got into country music, I'm sure there are people wondering why we say truck the way we do. And it's because
country.
Anytime it's mentioned in a country song, they say, so I got up in my truck.
Yep.
And they just kind of like drop it like that.
Yeah, there's a
truck.
Yeah, the drop it like that.
You don't even
really
have to finish
like
the word.
A bunch of use. Truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take my truck.
Hop in my truck or my wheel.
I like to think that they were still saying it like that way back when.
I hope so.
In the 1600s, they were still saying,
get the cannon on the truck.
Etymology with Shauna.
The VNS in 20 minutes or less podcast.
So the big news from yesterday is that the federal government will now require anyone traveling within Canada via plane or train to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
This also includes federal public servants, RCMP, unless they have a medical or religious exemption.
Right.
We've heard that medical exemptions will be difficult to get. Mm-hmm. Religious exemptions, we're not so sure about yet. This all goes into effect October 30th. And the most interesting part of this to me, and the part that doesn't really sit all that well, is that a negative test will no longer be accepted if you're traveling. So before, if you weren't vaccinated, you wanted to get on a plane, you could provide a negative test, show you didn't have COVID, and that was good enough. And now that is not going to be good enough anymore. You will need to require proof of vaccination. Now, the federal government doesn't quite have their system rolled out yet. So this is coming into place before the federal government's proof of vaccination system, which could complicate things, I think, especially for the people checking.
Yeah. That seems a bit odd that you couldn't provide a negative test.
Well, I know.
Because, is it because they've been faked? Like, the only reason I could...
More than proof of vaccination?
Well, yeah. I don't... Huh.
Because we know the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting COVID.
No.
Right? It appears to help lower a person's risk, maybe, of contracting the virus. And we definitely know that it helps keep a person out of the hospital.
Yes.
But in this scenario, wouldn't a negative test actually be better? Like, if you got a plane full of people and they're all vaccinated, there's no guarantee that COVID isn't on that plane.
Although I'm wondering, that would be because of the place you're landing in. Because if you were then to contract it in the place you're at, is it that you would then be putting a strain on their healthcare system because you don't have the vaccine, therefore you will be more severely affected? That's the only thing I could think of, you know, like the country running, and you don't want to put that pressure on your healthcare system. So you're saying, well, we want you to be vaccinated to be here. Maybe that would be the reason.
So it's more about the destination you're thinking and not so much about the actual method of getting there. That, I mean, that is the only possible thing I can think of. Like, when I, this seems like the kind of nonsense rule that's just going to like pour napalm on the conspiracy theories, you know?
Yeah.
Another question is like, is that even legal to put restrictions on travel like that within the country? And I was watching this interview yesterday with the vice dean of the U of A Faculty of Law, a guy named Eric Adams. And he was asked this very question, is this legal? And he said, outside of a pandemic, it would probably be a violation of constitutional rights. But because of the extraordinary times that we're living in, he thinks it will probably stand legally. Yeah. So, I mean, then when you look at it like that, too, just given the circumstances, the people who say this is an overreach, they have a little bit of a point, at least.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was reading an article about how the reason Buck Martinez wasn't calling the last few Jays games is because he's unvaccinated.
And oh, really? I wondered that. I wondered where Buck was.
I did, too. I know. And I'm not sure if he couldn't get to these places or what the reasoning is between why he's unvaccinated or whatever else.
I mean, like to know why, too. I mean, it's none of my business why he's not vaccinated, but he's in his 70s, isn't he?
He is.
So he would be considered high risk.
I know. I know. It's very interesting. But a friend of mine commented on this article saying, well, luckily Dan Shulman is a great replacement.
You don't like Dan Shulman.
Personally, not a big fan, but he is. And then he said, in fact, I'd listen to Dan call a bowel movement. That's how much of a fan of Dan Shulman he is.
Wow. And it's quite the opposite of you.
When I read this, of course, then I just couldn't get past that visual. Okay. Now I'm just envisioning Blue Jays commentators, Buck Martinez, okay, and Pat calling a bowel movement. I just couldn't get away from that.
It's a beautiful night in the ballpark bathroom where my good friend Tabby is having a hard time passing one.
It's not good, Buck. It's not good.
She's been in here for about 25 minutes or so and just can't seem to get that last out. You can see the determination on his face, just doing everything he can to get that forced out.
Pray for me! Pray for me, Bob!
Just a reminder that Tuesday night, this bathroom will be closed.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So Dave Grohl was on Howard Stern the other day promoting his new book, and he was talking about this thing he does where he drums with his teeth.
Interesting.
Not like holding the drumsticks with his teeth or anything, but playing rhythms just by clicking his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's actually been to the dentist for it, and he said one of the only other people he ever knew did this was Kurt Cobain. He would kind of like click his teeth almost like a metronome to keep time.
Yep.
He was playing, and he said if you watch the unplugged footage, you can actually see Kurt's jaw moving, and he thinks it's like a metronome for him, basically. Hmm. But then Dave said when he mentioned this in his book, people have started, you know, saying, oh, I did this too. And when I heard this, I was like, holy crap, I do this too.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be shocked if all drummers didn't do this.
Yeah, I've never talked to any drummer about it.
No, why would you?
Here's Dave giving an example.
Try to imagine what you're talking about. Is it this?
Yes, but it sounds like this. Okay, listen, it's like...
ASMR going on with that for sure.
He's got his
very distinct. It's oh, like yeah.
That. Wow.
And that's exactly what I do. Like, and I've done it my whole life, and I don't remember ever talking to anybody about it. And then to hear Dave say, oh, this is what I do, I was like, I do that too.
My cousin's a professional drummer, and now I want to phone him up and see if he does that too.
Hey, do you teeth drum?
Yeah. Because I wouldn't be shocked. You know, when you play an instrument like that, you tend to have different ways of like playing when you're not actually playing the instrument itself, right?
So you tap along with your feet and your hands.
Exactly.
Or
so
your
I
nails.
Wonder if that's a common thing for drummers.
Here's my teeth drumming, okay?
Okay. It's beautiful.
Now I want to go
really good.
Dave Grohl and a teeth drum off. No question, he's the better musician, but who plays the better teeth?
I was going to say, like, question. Maybe you should just start teeth drumming instead of real drumming on stage, you know? Like, audition for a band. Oh, yeah, I play the drums.
On violin, Shauna Jefferson. On teeth. The teeth.
On the teeth drum.
On the jibs.
Yep.
The jibberoons. This guy.
Giblet. The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
It's funny because I used to be in an orchestra growing up, and when people are, like, warming up or you're preparing for a concert or something, every every musician seems to have a different way of kind of fake playing their instrument to try and practice when you don't have your instrument in front of you.
Okay.
It's interesting because my mom, who's a violinist, and she still plays violin professionally, but for her, what she'll do is she'll use her hand, and then she'll put her other fingers on her hand and pretend she's playing on her own hand to, like, work out different notes and ways to play things and what it's going to sound like and feel like and stuff, which I find really bizarre. But then, like, you'll see, like, somebody who's a saxophone player or something, they'll have their own way of, like, kind of faking the sound of their own sax and, like, messing around that way and doing their own fingering. So it's bizarre how musicians all kind of figure out your own way of, like, you don't have the instrument, so how can I kind of pretend that I do or visualize
right,
I do.
Because you can't make full noise probably.
And exactly. Yeah. In different scenarios and stuff when you can't. Yeah, you've got to find out your own creative ways. So teeth drumming would be another way of maybe doing that, right? Like working things out in your own mind too.
Just sitting there moving your jaw around.
Yeah. Working it out.
Well, I used to be a big fan of this prog band called Dream Theater. I don't know if you know them, but they're famous for really long songs and a ton of notes, like played really fast and stuff. And they, before their shows, like the warm-ups they have to do just because they're such long and intense shows. Like at that point, you're almost an athlete, right?
Yep.
So you need to do, like you need to stretch. You need to, you don't think of it like that, but.
That's so crazy.
If you're going to play a long show like that, like, man, I remember playing some shows where, like, I wouldn't have practice hard enough, or at least not at the same energy that you play a show at, and I would, like, my hands would be failing, like I'd be losing the grip of my sticks and thinking like, well, this isn't good.
Yeah,
if I can't hang on to the sticks anymore, there's going to be no drums.
Even like orchestra concerts and stuff, like my back would always get tired because you have to sit up so straight and you're not used to like sitting for that amount of time, so you know, you'd get sore and your back would hurt and start slouching. You're trying to like stretch while you're on stage and trying to figure out how to like maintain this. It's nuts.
And then if you play a big instrument,
oh my God,
if you're on one of the bigger horns.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because now you see, as musicians get older, you know, like you see the Chili Peppers and how Flea now does all this like yoga and stuff before all their concerts, and they all like stop drinking because their bodies just can't handle that. When you're younger, you don't even think about it. You have three sheets to wind on stage.
Oh,
and you got the energy and you can just keep going. And as you get older, they're like, oh God.
For me, it was when the drummer, you know, a drummer was old when his stool, like his, what they call the throne, drummer's right. throne, had a back to it.
Oh yeah.
Like, I remember when I saw, I forget which Pink Floyd DVD it was, but Nick Mason's, but his drum's throne has a back to it. And I was like, these are old guys.
Yes,
that's right. So
that's what I hated about in an orchestra. You have to, as a violinist, if you see, you're always sitting on the corner of your chair. The chairs all have backs, but you can't lean your back against it and play. That's not a thing. So
okay.
You're all like perched up on the corner and you can never use the back as support. And that's why after a long period of time, you're like, oh God, like it's uncomfortable and awkward.
Great posture though, hey?
Yeah.
They sold you the whole seat, but you only needed the edge.
Seriously, it could have fit three more of us on there.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments, too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The VNS in 20 minutes or less podcast.
Did your parents ever take you out of school for anything? Like let you play hooky? It was always a big thing if your parents ever did, I found. Like, I remember in grade 6, my mom took me out of school for a week to take me to Austria. And she was a music teacher at the time, so she was taking her students to Austria. And so I played along with them in this orchestra. And so she took me out of school.
That's so cool.
It was a huge deal. It was a big thing.
I'd be willing to bet you learned more on the Austria trip than you would have in class, right?
Well, and that's the funny thing is when that happened, I remember my science teacher at the time being like, well, that's stupid. Like you shouldn't be taking kids out of school at this age, or like you shouldn't be taking them out to miss school. It's more important. And I remember thinking that was the oddest thing for anybody to comment.
Yeah,
like
for a life experience and to experience another culture.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause my mom also took me out of school to watch our cat have kittens.
Yeah, that one's funny.
And that one's a little stranger, but again, it was because for her, I think she wanted to show the natural,
the miracle of birth,
the miracle of birth.
So
I suppose.
Were you just on? Were you off school, like on hold, like on standby, waiting for the babies to come, or did she call you and be like, "You got to get home, Shauna."
Yeah,
they're coming. They're coming.
I didn't have a cell phone at that time. I was pretty young, but
Shauna Jefferson, we're to the office.
That was
please.
Basically like, it. Yeah. The cat had kittens, Shauna. The cat had kittens. Come to the
get
office.
Home. Get home.
Get home. But yeah, I always think that that was a big deal when that happened, right? Like,
yeah, I'm trying to think if my parents ever did. I remember my mom occasionally, and I mean very rarely, like taking one of us out of school just for an afternoon or something to have a day with her, which we always felt so special, you know, and it wasn't enough to ever interfere. It was like probably less than once a year.
Yeah.
You know, but it was still cool.
Well, that's a big thing too, I think. Just to even spend quality time with your parents, and like, especially if you deserved it, you did something that obviously like warranted it, and then why not?
Yeah. I mean, relationships are important too, right? Especially if you feel like you're too busy, you're not seeing enough of them. I had a teacher who took his whole family out of school to go traveling for like a year, I think. And I don't know if he homeschooled them on the road or, but I was like, what an experience. Like,
I know.
That's so cool.
I remember a student another student in our school that went away for, I think, a month, and their parents took them wherever they traveled to for a month. And that was interesting because I think they were trying to keep up on schoolwork while they were away. But again, there were some teachers and stuff that were like, that's a long time. But then you think about it and you're like, if it was a cultural experience, once again, then that's probably invaluable.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, you might not want to do it indefinitely.
No.
Like, kids still need to go to school.
Definitely.
Obviously, right?
Yes. But when it comes to sitting and learning theory at a desk in a windowless high school versus being somewhere and experiencing, you know, some sort of real world thing.
Meeting new people who have lived different lives than you. Yeah. I think education can come in many different forms. And I think people are getting better at recognizing that.
Which is pretty cool. Damn you, science teacher.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Calgary has some of the best damn playgrounds in the world, I swear. Like, we must. Every single playground I pass in the city looks incredible. I don't ever see a scary-looking playground if it's a public playground. Like, it just doesn't exist here.
We do have some great playgrounds. The boys and I love hitting up different ones that we see, and we'll drive past one and be like, oh, that looks good. Let's go there.
I know. Honestly.
I'll tell you this, though.
Okay.
Lots of them look awesome. Aren't as awesome when you actually get out there.
Oh.
Like, there's a lot going on, but there's not actually, there's a lot going on.
Mm.
Like, it looks new and there's tons of colors, but I think some of them have been made so safe that they aren't as exciting as some of the old dangerous ones were, even if they look cooler. There are still some really great playgrounds in this city. Don't get me wrong.
That's too bad, because every single one I pass, like, there's maybe 15 of them around my house, like, within a 4-minute walk of any direction, you'll find all these playgrounds. And every single one looks, they're massive. They're colorful.
Yep.
They look like they've got all kinds of stuff in there. And every time I'm like, this is unbelievable. Because when I grew up, this is not what playgrounds were like. There were hardly any that looked like that. In fact, I can't recall the same.
They were wood and metal, and they were dangerous.
And terrifying.
Yeah, but they were fun.
You're right.
They were the danger was the fun part of it.
That's totally true.
You know, it's tough to even find like a real set of swings anymore.
What?
Yeah, and like my youngest Brigham, he's 4. He says, I won't go to any park that doesn't have thwings.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
You're right, Brigham. I wouldn't
swings.
Either. I want thwings too.
He wants just a big set of swings, which is like the easiest thing to put in a park.
Mm-hmm.
But they all have like kind of modified swings now. And
oh,
you know, a lot of it
is for
accessibility. And I understand that because you want all the kids to be able to use the playground equipment. I get that. And I like that the kids aren't being left out as much.
Mm.
But you still need the dangerous elements of it.
You really do. The one thing I noted as well is that a lot of these playgrounds have these climbing walls now. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
like with actual rock climbing grips?
With actual rock climbing grips. And I was asking some friends who have kids in other provinces, and I was like, is this just an Alberta thing? Just because of like, we have a lot of climbing here and it's a big thing here. And my friends seem to think that they haven't recalled that at any of the playgrounds around them. So I'm wondering if it is kind of an Alberta-centric thing, or even just Calgary-centric, is having these climbing walls. And that's cool too, because
it's a good question, because climbing is huge here, right?
It is.
Of course, with our proximity to the mountains.
Exactly.
Even like the Calgary Climbing Center looks incredible.
It looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
I know. So I was wondering, maybe it's just like, which is sweet if it's a way to kind of get kids into climbing, right? You start them young and you get them familiar with the grips, and then they grow on to do that.
I know a few people who have put those walls in their houses.
Yeah. How awesome is that?
Very cool. Like
I've
a bouldering wall in a basement or like in a crawl space.
There was a tiny home that had those little, like, right on the front of the tiny home, which I thought was pretty cool
as
well.
Cool.
Yeah, why not? Just add them, and then you get a little practice in. I mean, that's the one thing that's nice, is at least if it's something practical like that, you grow up and you can use those skills. For me, it was like the metal spider web thing, you know, that we used to have in those playgrounds.
The chain
remember that?
Spider web? I remember that.
You'd pinch your fingers in them all the time. It's like, that isn't really a transferable skill as you grow up as an adult,
some
right?
Some kid
like,
would fall and be hanging there by an ankle, screaming.
Yeah. No parents are around to pick them up either. Just leave him. He's good.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Got an email from a friend of the show, Michael,
And Michael said he was watching the movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And I didn't remember that movie very well. I don't think I've seen it since it came out, which was like 11 years ago, I think.
Holy crap.
That one was all filmed in Toronto, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did you recognize the scenes when you watched that?
Yeah, although, again, it's been a long-ass time since I've seen it.
So I didn't remember, but if you forget the plot of that show, basically he has to defeat this the ex-boyfriends of this girl he's interested in before he can win her over. And one of the boyfriends is a vegan. He's like a super-powered vegan. And Michael reminded us of this scene here.
You just drank half and half, baby.
Freeze! Vegan police! Vegan police!
Toddy, you're under arrest for veganity violation. Code number 827. Imbibe and half and half.
You heard what those guys were, didn't you? They were vegan police.
No! I didn't hear that.
That's already, since it's been uttered. It has been uttered.
Come on.
Vegan police. Vegan cops.
Okay. Well... they're a thing. Great.
Vegan cops!
Vegan cops! We are vegan cops. We only eat crops.
Vegan cops!
Vegan cops!
We've got reports of animal byproducts. Let's roll.
Is that meat I smell? You're going to the jail cell.
Plant-based diet cops!
Plant-based diet cops!
What kind of acid you taking, son?
Just omega-3 fatty acid supplements, sir. My diet is lacking in them.
That's right.
Did you say something about choking, son? No, I said artichokes, sir. They're high in folate. That's right.
No animals are animal byproduct cops.
No animals are animal byproduct cops.
Have you been eating soy, or have you been a bad boy?
Naughty. We are vegan police, protecting even a whole geese.
Vegan cops.
Vegan cops.
Been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars, until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.